Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Believe it or not, I had plenty of teachers when I was growing up suggesting that maybe I wasn't wrapped too tight during my learning process. Well, how about if you're a football player and you're not strapped too tight or even strapped at all? Timothy B. Brown of footballarchaeology.com joins us to tell us about helmets without chin straps and the history of it coming up in just a moment with Tim.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to Tuesday. And we have Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com is here to tell us a little bit about one of his recent tidbits. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Darren, thank you. Always a pleasure to be here and join you as we talk about old stuff, football stuff.
Yeah, most definitely. You had a recent tidbit that really caught my eye when it came out. I actually reread it a few days ago because it's very fascinating. It's called Football Helmets Without Chin Straps. And it's something kind of peculiar that when we think of the football helmet, the chin strap's almost like an automatic part of it in our day and age. And so it's very interesting what you wrote about, and I'd love to hear about it here in the podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those funny things. Sometimes I've wondered, how did the name come about, chin strap? I mean, now chin straps cover the chin, right? And then they mm-hmm. connect up to the helmet with the two points on either side. But back, that's really a post-1940 kind of look. Before that, the headgear, the wrestling type headgear, and then after that, what we think of as leather helmets, for a long time, the strap kind of went from the ears and then looped under the jaw, not over the chin, right? So, I think chin straps originated, I believe, on military helmets, and so a lot of times they had them in military hats. So a lot of times they had those little straps, like kind of on the chin, a little bit below the mouth, that kind of thing. So that's probably where the term came from. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they had those original straps were kind of elastic or cloth. They weren't, and they could tighten them, but they certainly weren't as good about keeping the helmet on the head as today's two or four point chin straps do. Plus the helmets are just tighter. So, if you've got a leather helmet, it can only conform to the head so much, right? I mean, if it's a little bit bigger, you've got it, just nobody's head is shaped the same way, or no two people's are shaped the same way. So, there's probably some little extra space here, a little extra space there in any given leather helmet. And so, they used to come off. And so, so Goldsmith was one of the original manufacturers of baseballs. They started back in 1875. They were a big sporting goods manufacturer, at least till like 1940. That's the last catalog I have of theirs. And so I'm not sure exactly how much longer they lasted, but so Goldsmith was trying to fix this problem. How do we keep helmets on? Because these little chin straps don't always work. So what they did was they got rid of the chin strap, which seems kind of dumb. They could have kept it, but they tried to make the size of the helmet adjustable. So, and they did that by, at the back of the helmet, they basically put together like a drawstring system. And if you think about it, like, we've all seen movies of like a Victorian woman who's getting her corset, adjusted, where they're pulling those straps and they're, making her stomach, look, or make it look like she's got an 18-inch waist, that kind of thing. So, I mean, so they were basically, they had a system like that, or at least, functionally, that was what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to tighten the base of the helmet around the head. And so, but, the fact of the matter is, it didn't work very well.
You probably needed help getting your helmet on and off every time, I would assume.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, it could be that, yeah, you had to, so it's it, what's funny that you mentioned that is like, back at that time, players, the front of their football pants also had those like leather patches at the thighs and, well, probably typically twice on the thighs, on each thigh, because they basically had drawstrings to tighten the thigh or tighten the pants so that they didn't move all around, and then they'd be protected by the thigh pads or the pants. So they didn't have really good elastics back then. So it's a matter of, pulling laces of one form or another to try to get things to fit. So, somehow, they tried to do that with the helmet. But, it was, they were gone from the catalogs in about a year or two. So it tells me the thing just didn't work. The concept made sense, and in fact, in the 70s when people started, like I think it was, I believe it was Riedel that did it first, but they had the bladder helmets where you pump air into it, and it conforms to your head, whatever the shape of it may be. So they were trying to do that same thing, they just didn't have the means to do it at the time, and so, good idea, bad execution. And so then that just that disappeared. But I still haven't figured out, like, why would you get rid of the chin strap? So even
Right.
if you got this other cool thing going on, why get rid of the chin strap? Because I've never read anything about people being bothered by it. Like the nose guards, yeah, that was a big, everybody, nobody liked wearing the nose guard because they had difficulty breathing and that kind of stuff. But chin strap,
Yeah, I mean it's a
so.
natural place to secure because you sort of got that hook shape under your chin to,
Yeah.
give a good anchor point to tie it down to your head and get a little tension on there.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So, I so sometimes, some of the stories, I mean, again, I like the stories where, as football evolved, there were all these dead end paths, right? Just like in, animal species.
Right.
And, so some of them, the thinking behind the path made sense. They just didn't have the tools or the technology or the right materials to make it happen at the time.
Yeah, you I mean, very, very interesting story, but just you describing the back of that helmet and the core whole corset idea, it took me back to some time playing like junior high ball. We got sort of leftover pants. And one year I had drawstring pants for football where you had to tie them up like you tie your shoe. What a pain in the ass that was every day for practice, for game day. It just, especially when you're like, 11, 12 years old, you don't want to take your time to snap pants even, let alone, sit there and tie them and tighten them up. And if you didn't tighten them up, then you had, your jock and everything else was, flopping and falling all over the place. And it was just a bad design, whoever designed those pants. I didn't enjoy those.
Yeah, well, and again, it's one of those things that, depending on your age, you may not have as much experience with it, but back in the day, there were a lot of people on the football field with, white athletic tape wrapped around their thighs or around their knees to keep things in place, right? And so I've spotted that kind of thing going on back, to the 20s and 30s. So people, even back then,
They were taping
they
up
ran into
back
the same
then,
problem.
huh? Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah, I guess you would be able to do it too then. I'm always sort of thinking like athletic tape and duct tape, the fabric type tape being more of a modern invention, but yeah, I guess I would have had that back then.
Yeah, I
Interesting.
mean, they had, if you look at the old catalogs, I can't tell you it was the exact same kind of tape, but they had athletic tape and illustrations like Walter Camp, those the football guide, the football guides, they had illustrations of how to tape an ankle, that kind of stuff going back pretty far. So
Yeah, very interesting. And thank God that they have the chin straps. But even with chin straps, and I don't know about you, but when I played early on, I don't even think I saw a 4-point chin strap until maybe I was in high school or something. I think it was sort of a, late 70s type innovation, I think, or at least became popular at the levels I played at then. But you see so many people with the 4-point head strap, chin straps. And they still come, their helmets still come flying off, and especially the NFL level and big time college. It's unbelievable that those can come off because once you have those helmets on, and if they're done upright, I mean, it's hard to unsnap them when you do want to take it off, let alone have it come flying off in the middle of a game. Kind of crazy.
well, I hate to tell you this, but some of those guys are stronger than you and your buddies were.
I realize that, but still,
They
it's.
generate a little bit more force.
Yeah, still, that's I mean,
Yeah,
that's
you're
a
right.
lot of
You're right.
stuff to pop a
It's
helmet off.
amazing.
That's amazing. Well, Tim, that is a great story and a great piece of football history that we seldom get to appreciate something like that and what the sort of the forefathers of football had to go through to do that. And you talk a lot about this kind of items on your website, footballarchaeology.com. And why don't you tell people a little bit about it and how they can enjoy footballarchaeology.com?
So it's footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack website. So if you're familiar with Substack, or you can find me there. And I also post on Twitter and on Threads. But the site itself, it's a subscription site. If you subscribe for free, you get access now to about a third of the stuff. And paid subscriptions, which is basically $5 a month or $50 a year, that you have full access to everything, including the archives. So, if that's what you're into, then subscribe away.
Well, excellent job as always, Tim. And if folks, make sure you take advantage of what Tim's saying because there is really a plethora of information on football history. We get to talk a little bit about it, each week, but Tim has so much more in there. I think, what did you say? You have over 1,000 articles in there right now about
Yeah,
football?
not quite 1,000. It's getting close.
Yeah. Well, that's four digits there, guys. That's some good stuff to look at football history from different angles. So, Tim, we really appreciate you coming on, and we would love to talk to you about more great football history next week.
Very good. Look forward to it. Thanks, Darren.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that. Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.